everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to be talking about artificial sweeteners and regular sweeteners, regular sugar, and does it increase your risk of breast cancer? Interesting studies, just one of many studies, always in peer-reviewed journals, and not found in the mainstream media. But then we're going to have a commentary from John Whitehead and his wife about what is happening to our lives based upon those who want to control our lives. And how are they going about that? What can we do to push back? Can we say no to the things we've gotten used to many of the creature comforts, like the cell phones and all the ways that we communicate using the internet? Should we allow them to censor us? Should they be able to control our speech? Should we be punished if we say things that offend certain groups or individuals? How much power does the woke society have over our lives now? And what are the vast majority of Americans, probably 95% of all Americans, what do they think of all this? Later on, you'll have an opportunity to talk back to these issues. Our talkback number is 888-874-4888. Now for the latest on health and healing. Sugar-sweetened beverages and artificial sweetened beverages were tested by the University of Navarra in Spain to see, do they increase your risk of breast cancer? And the objective was just to evaluate, since there's so much consumption of both artificial sweeteners and the regular high fructose sweeteners, what it will do to a subtype-specific breast cancer. The answer was yes. They looked at 82,713 women from the nurses' health study, and they found that there was an increase in breast cancer in those that consumed the most artificial sweeteners and the most sugars. Now, this is almost 40 years after I debated Dr. Elizabeth Whalen, who was the head at that time of the American Council on Science and Health, a very pro-industry, pro-sugar, pro-processed cereal company, and they defended their actions. It was on the NBC national radio broadcast, and Bob Kame was the host, and I took 17 peer-reviewed studies showing the connection between sugar and different diseases, including, of course, tooth decay and obesity. Her position was, no, there's no problem, and mine was, look at the science. Now imagine that. Here we are 40 years later, and this study has to once again say there is a connection between cancer of the breast, a specific type, and your consumption of sugar. But what if you also didn't live in a monotheistic existence, meaning a single item? That was one of the excuses they used when it came to saccharin and cyclamates. Oh, you'd have to drink 555 cans a year of soft drinks before it would really cause a problem. All right. Is that the only thing you're living on in the entire year, every day? What about the meat you're eating? What kind of meat? How's it cooked? How many of the French fries and potato chips and other things that can cause disease are you consuming? How much alcohol are you consuming? And what percentage of that alcohol is a high percent? None of that has ever been tested. As a result, we consume hundreds of different items in our foods every day. Most of those have never been tested synergistically, meaning what happens when you eat a sandwich. The sandwich has bread. The bread, to make the bread, you have to brown it. In the browning process, you create a chemical called acrylamides. Acrylamides is a known cancer-causing agent. But let's say on this particular piece of bread, you also have what you see all the time in the commercials. You have bacon, a hamburger, and cheese. Well, the cheese generally will have some form of growth-stimulating hormone given to the cows to have them produce more milk. That's dangerous. Also, it's a highly allergenic factor. The casein in that milk is also, in the whey, very harmful. to our bodies. A lot of people are allergic to that in addition. And also the meat, in order to cook it so it's at least safe for most bacteria, you would have to cook it at a high enough temperature that you also create a cancer-causing agent called heterocyclic amines. So now what happens when you have all bad things, all health-destructive concepts here? You have known allergens, known carcinogens, refined carbohydrates, and food that has little fiber, which therefore is going to slow down your digestion, which means that you could end up having congestion and toxic items in your colon. For example, if I eat a nice, high-fiber, fresh, clean breakfast, let's just say with millet and quinoa or steel-cut oatmeal, and I have berries in it, and I have some seeds, maybe some flax seeds, hemp seeds, chia seeds, sunflower, safflower, all these are healthy. But not safflower, but also let's say that we have some nut butter, a scoop of almond butter in here, or walnut butter, even better. And pistachio butter is really good as well. And then you put, you know, maybe some rice milk in there. Well, you've got a terrific breakfast, and it's going to go through your system in about an hour, hour and a half. But you eat that breakfast, they want you to stop off at the fast food restaurant and eat. That could be in your stomach for 5 hours, depending upon your age and how much hydrochloric acid you have and how stressed you are. All these considerations nobody ever thinks about. But then we end up having gastric distress or acid indigestion because we've eaten the wrong foods. So do they tell us stop eating those foods? No. They say take an antacid. What does that mean? It means in the commercial that now, you know, you're going to knock out the problem. You're not going to have to change. You see, heaven forbid that the average American actually has to change anything to get out of our comfort zone, our predictable patterns of behavior. But the manufacturers, the people who create the advertising and the propaganda to get you to eat something that's actually killing you, think about that for a moment. What if we were told that you can have everything as long as you have everything in moderation? Oh, hold on. They've been telling us that for decades. So you could smoke, but smoke in moderation. Drink in moderation. Take drugs in moderation. All right? Eat anything in moderation. Well, that's a completely idiotic concept. Because what if what you're taking in is toxic? What if they did it this way? Taking a little strychnine, not a lot. Little arsenic, not a lot of arsenic, a little tiny piece of arsenic each day. Take some fluoride also. How about some chlorine? Yeah, take those. Moderation. You'd say, well, that's the same. Those are all poisonous. They'd corrode my body. They'd cause cancer. I'm not going to do that. But eating a hamburger every day, drinking alcohol every day, eating sugar every day, having saturated fats every day and trans fats every day, having your french fries every day and your salt every day, all of those destroy your health, imbalance your body chemistry. All of those are toxic. And yet huge industries, we're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars a year in the food production, and the vast majority of it on things that cause disease. And then on top of that, genetic engineering causing cancer, sponsored by Bill Gates and Monsanto. Oh, and on top of that, all of your pesticides, like glyphosate, which now there's, I think, 80 to 100,000 lawsuits against Monsanto and Bayer for hiding the information on that. They knew it, by the way, all along. Documents and discoveries showed that. But let's keep buying their products. Let's keep trusting them, even though they've done nothing to help our health, actually undermine our health and cause disease. But let's keep believing the people that gave us DDT and Agent Orange and gave us the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. Let's keep believing them on their policies. Let's keep believing the media that talks with one voice like a bunch of ventriloquist dummies. Yeah, let's keep believing in the CIA. In fact, so much so that the head of it goes over to work one of the cable networks and the other national security agency, Clapper and Brennan. Let's keep believing them, even though they lie. Let's keep believing legislators, and they lie. Yeah. See where this is going? So look way back to when I had that debate. We had the truth 40 years ago, and we weren't willing to act on it. Not the scientific community, not the medical community, not the dietitians, and I am a registered dietitian, not the nutritionists, and I'm a registered nutritionist, board certified. No, not the nurses, not the dentist. Does that tell you something? What does it tell you? What's the message? All right? So if you think another study showing you that something you've been using is a danger to your health, that that's going to stop you from using it, or a doctor from treating you but not telling you to change your diet or lifestyle, it's not going to happen. Next up, some good news. Spending time in nature promotes early childhood development. This University of British Columbia. So want to ensure your child has a proper development at different milestones. New research suggests living in an area with high exposure to green space, can help them be more successful in life. And that's important. This was done at the University of British Columbia Faculty of Forestry and Faculty of Medicine. They looked at 27,000 children in the Vancouver area, and from kindergarten to the age of 12, and they found the more those kids were outside, the more they played in nature, the more they explored nature, the healthier they were at different stages of development. Now, we know that mushrooms, shiitake mushroom, lion's mane mushroom, cordyceps, they're really good to prevent cancer, or if you have cancer. But now a new study from Penn State University says that mushrooms are full of antioxidants and also have anti-aging nutrients. Well, that's terrific. Now, the antioxidants in mushrooms are very powerful. They slow down the aging process because the antioxidants trap free radicals. Free radicals create the inflammation, and inflammation destroys your cells in the brain, in the heart, in the liver. So the more mushrooms you eat, the slower your aging process. Also, they're high in glutathione, GLUTATHIONE. That's your most important liver antioxidant. So get your serving every day of mushrooms. Also, something that I'm going to be doing a lecture on, you can go to GaryNall.com in just about a week and a half on a Sunday at 1 o'clock, is I believe we are a nation that has refused to deal with loneliness in all age groups. People who shouldn't be lonely, who should have friends and be interrelating and playing and challenging, young ones, old ones, a whole generation of senior citizens were thought, well, they're in their golden years, let them go down to Florida to one of the gated communities and live out their life playing golf. No, the vast majority are not in Florida living in gated communities and playing golf. The vast majority of senior citizens are alone, are struggling financially, frequently living in one room of their house because they can't afford to keep the electricity on all the other rooms, and they're not being helped. So they're lonely. They become depressed and anxious. So I'm going to show you how to overcome loneliness, depression, and anxiety. Just go to GaryNall.com if you want to join me for that live webinar. In any case, social isolation, according to this study from the Society of Neuroscience, impacts your brain function in significant, sometimes permanent ways, and that's not good. Social isolation rewires your brain and potentially leading to anxiety and depression, addiction, and behavioral changes. The findings were presented in Neuroscience 2021, the annual meeting of the Society for Neuroscience. So that's important. We need to relate with people. We need support systems. We're social creatures. We need that interaction. I'm going to also deal in my lecture about how to create new friends no matter what your age or where you live or your circumstances. Also, following along that same line, the University of California at San Francisco came up with a study showing happiness in early adulthood, let's say in your 20s and 30s, can protect against dementia later in life. Well, that's really good. But also happiness also helps us with cardiovascular health and blood damage, especially flowing to the brain, that leads to dementia. You see, anytime you're stressed, you create and secrete throughout the body cortisol. And cortisol in the short term is a flight or fight hormone. We need it, but only for a minute, 2 minutes, not all the time. And that's why the happier we are, the healthier we are, and the less aging we're doing prematurely. Also, finally, from the Iran University of Medical Science, ginger can help relieve inflammation caused by rheumatoid arthritis. Now, ginger has been used for motion sickness and for upset stomachs and for the itises, ileitis, colitis, spastic colon, diverticulitis. But now, to understand how ginger can be used to treat rheumatoid arthritis, researchers at the University of Medical Sciences did a randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled trial, and they administered ginger to rheumatoid arthritis patients for 12 weeks, and the results were substantial, and that's terrific. So if you want to turn off inflammation in your joints, especially arthritic joints, use ginger. Simple. Easy. You can grow ginger. I grow ginger all the time. I'm going to be taking my camera outside and show you how you can plant different shrubs and trees and aromatic plants and do gardening. I'm going to film from beginning to end setting up my new hydroponic and garden and sprout house, a microgreen, and how easy and inexpensive it is you can do this for yourself, and how to protect it in the winter and how to keep it cool in the summer, and all the variety of things you can have, especially with food shortages coming. Now, something is important. We are being torn apart, and that is not good. We have so many crises that the United States and its corporations and its policymakers have created. Unfortunately, we have not been paying attention. We have not let our leaders know we're not happy with this, and we should have. Just take a look at all the things that are happening now. All of the major platforms, Wikipedia, and by the way, one of the worst is Wikipedia, but also Facebook, Twitter, they're determining what kind of language we can use, what words are acceptable, what pronouns are acceptable, and they allow people to attack you if they deem that you're not complying. They decide what is useful information about vaccines, and it must be pro-vaccine and pro-Anthony Fauci and pro-get your boosters and pro-take your medicines, but never questioning it. They allow those people who have no background in medicine or science to dictate the policies, and yet outstanding scientists and physicians who are actually helping people with major diseases, heart disease, Dean Ornish is a good example. I filmed Dean Ornish recently in a group of 9 patients. All those patients had something in common. They all had to have a new heart, literally a heart transplant, a very tricky operation, a very dangerous operation, but one that can be life-saving when successful. Now imagine that you were able to take people that would die, and now they're all alive and well. I mean, healthy, really nice, right? Nowhere do you see that. No, it was a non-story. So imagine then Dr. Ornish, a great cardiologist, writing to say what causes heart disease, and he starts implicating things that are commonly sold and the uselessness of statins for most conditions and actually causing problems, or the overuse of medications instead of making proper lifestyle choices. How long do you think it'd be before Wikipedia was pillaring him and he was being erased and gaslighted and attacked and censored on all the other media? Well, that is what's happening now. And according to John Whitehead and his wife, we are now entering what is being called the metaverse, meaning the new Matrix. Now, I saw the movie The Matrix, all of them, and I'm glad that they're going to do a new one. Good for them, because it was really good, really mind-blowing. But now we're entering in a world, and I'm sure you're becoming aware of it, certainly if you watch this program, where there's now an effort to try to get you to live through a virtual form of existence. Now, I'm sure you've seen it where the people are wearing the headsets. There's one where they're all dancing, wearing the headsets. And there's another where guys, you know, acting out, wearing the headset. What happens when your virtual reality that they're creating, the internets are creating, the web designers, artificial intelligence, transhumanism, robotics are creating all this, a brand new world for you, a brave new world that Aldous Huxley talked about, the soma, get people to use their medicines to a point where they're obedient all the time. They wouldn't think of acting out or not following orders, but they're doing it differently this time. They're doing it with inducement to make our lives more comfortable, more exciting. After all, let's just say, and this is just completely extemporaneous, let's just say that you are an average guy, you are 45 years of age, you don't have much of a sex life, you're bored, and you're also concerned about yourself because you don't want to acknowledge you may be having erectile dysfunction or lack of libido. Okay, that's a real common problem. But now all you have to do is just put on this headset and you program what you want. And now everything your fantasies could possibly imagine is right there. And you're participating. Yeah, that's the thing about artificial intelligence creating these new virtual realities. You're in the game. And it's so lifelike because they actually used real models. It's not a cartoon. These are real people. And they can program them for your name and your desires and what you like to hear. And everything that you like is programmed in. It's uniquely yours. Well, now suddenly you have as much of a sex life, as exciting a sex life, as adventurous sex life as you want. And it's private. Just you, that little computer that's now on. Oh, and by the way, you are aware that everything that you're experiencing, they're recording. Yeah. But that becomes better than sitting around watching porn or being bored. I'm only giving one example and not an extreme example, because also the Japanese now have gone to their newest form of transhumanism, where it's not kind of a robotic, you know, irky-jerky man or woman that's going to be your sex partner. Now it's really human looking and speaking. The voice, the intonations, the tenor of the passion, the body movements are all so real. And yet, when you're finished, whatever you want to do, there's no argument, there's no fighting, there's nothing. There's just, okay, that was an episode. I ate a meal, now I'll get ready for my next. What do you think that's going to do to most people's relationship? Middle-aged people, older people? What do you think it's going to do to the, why should I hassle with a relationship when I don't need all the hassle of a relationship, but I've got all the fun I want with this? Do you think people are not going to embrace that in a heartbeat? Of course they will. In numbers you cannot imagine. And they'll just keep improving it. To one day, you're in the Matrix. Yes. Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of Facebook, sees the digital universe, they're calling the metaverse, as the next step in our evolutionary transformation from human-driven society to a technological one. Yet while Zuckerberg's vision for this digital frontier has been met with a certain degree of skepticism by a limited number of people, the fact is that this is going to be taken in full throttle by the average American. You see, the metaverse is in turn a dystopian meritocracy where freedom is a conditional construct based upon your worthiness and compliance. Comply, show you're obedient, just like the Chinese citizen, and you're allowed to participate. In a meritocracy, rights are privileges afforded to those who have earned them. There can be no tolerance for independence or individuality in a meritocracy where political correctness is formalized, legalized, and institutionalized, and ultimately weaponized. Think that that's not happening now? Look at the balkanization of the American public between vaccinated and unvaccinated. They're making everyone unvaccinated be punished, can't fly, can't go to movies, sporting events, can't go into restaurants. And now there's commentaries, you shouldn't be allowed to have your heart disease or cancer or anything else treated in a hospital ahead of someone who's been vaccinated. They're the good citizen. You get in line. You wait. You should be punished. You should be ashamed of yourself. Last evening, someone said, you got to watch Geraldo Rivera. This guy is nuts. So I turned on Fox, which I normally do not do. And there he is defending his suggestion that there is no exception to being vaccinated. You have no personal rights in this matter. Wow. You have no personal rights? Well, Geraldo, what if you have had an organ transplant and you can't be vaccinated because your immune system is already suppressed? You're going to supercharge your immune system when the bodies could turn off the organs, attack them? What if you have medical conditions that would prevent this? What if you have severe autoimmune conditions that then putting in something that stimulates the immune system can then take your immune system off the charts? Are we seeing it? Yes. I just posted today, go to prn.fm and you can watch it, a 5-minute clip that I had just seen yesterday. It was sent to me by Luann Panessi. And in it, you see soccer players, top of the heap health-wise. These guys are out there running. They're in great conditions. They get big contracts. They have to have regular medical exams, including cardiovascular stress tests. And they're dropping dead after getting their vaccines from heart attacks and blood clotting all over the place. None of it's being reported. Now, those are just soccer athletes. What about all the other athletes? What about all the other young people? So, unfortunately, when you're not a medical doctor, you're not a scientist, you're not treating patients, you're not doing the actual clinical studies, you're not an investigative journalist and looking for the truth, then you're just another mindless pundit talking like a fascist. And he's not alone. The entire administration and all the governmental agencies that are involved in health are doing the same. So you see, there can be no true freedom when the ability to express yourself, move about, engage in commerce and function in society is predicated on the extent to which you are willing to accept what you're told to do. We're almost at that stage now. They're preparing you for this. Consider that in our present virtual signaling world, where fascism disguises itself as tolerance, the only way to enjoy a semblance of freedom is by opting to voluntarily censor yourself, comply, conform, and march in lockstep with whatever prevailing views dominate. Fail to do so by daring to espouse your dangerous ideas or support unpopular political movements like your freedom of choice movement, medical freedom of choice, where a doctor has the right to treat the patient as they see fit from the beginning of a disease? No. No. You will automatically be shut out of commerce, employment, and society. Facebook will ban you. Twitter will shut you down. Instagram will deplatform you. Your employer will issue ultimatums that force you to choose between yourself and your so-called freedoms and economic survival. And of course, then the goon squad over on the skeptic side of Wikipedia will then destroy your reputation by creating lies and narratives that do not exist in reality, but they don't have to be real on Wikipedia. You can't change them. This is exactly how corporate America plans to groom us for a world in which we, the people, are unthinking, unresistant, slavishly obedient, automatons, in bondage to the deep state police by computer algorithms. Science fiction has become fact. 20-some years after the movie, the iconic movie The Matrix, introduced us to a futurist world in which humans exist in a computer-simulated, non-reality powered by authoritarian machines, a world where the choice between existing in a denial-ridden virtual dream state or facing up to the harsh, difficult realities of life comes down to the blue pill or the red pill. We stand at the precipice of a technologically dominated matrix of our own making. We are living the prequel to the Matrix with each passing day, falling further under the spell of technologically driven virtual communities, virtual realities, virtual conveniences managed by artificially intelligent machines that are on a fast track to replace human beings and eventually dominating every aspect of your life. In The Matrix, computer programmer Thomas Anderson, aka Hacker Neo, is awakened from a virtual slumber by Morpheus, a freedom fighter seeking to liberate humanity from the lifelong hibernation state imposed by hyper-advanced artificial intelligence machines that rely on humans as an organic power source. With their minds plugged into a perfectly crafted virtual reality, few humans ever realize they're living in an artificial dream world. Neo is given a choice. Take the red pill, wake up and join the resistance, or take the blue pill and remain asleep and serve as fodder for the powers that be. Most people opt for the blue pill. In our case, the blue pill is a one-way ticket to a life sentence in an electronic concentration camp. It's been honey-coated to hide the bitter aftertaste, sold to us in the name of expedience and delivered by people of blazingly fast internet cell phone signals that never drop a call, thermostats that keep us at the perfect temperature without our having to raise a finger, and entertainment that can be simultaneously streamed to our TVs, our tablets, and cell phones. Yet we are not merely enthralled with these technologies that we're intended to make our lives easier. We have become enslaved by them. Look around you. Everywhere you turn, people are so addicted to their stupid internet-connected screen devices and smartphones and tablets and computers and televisions that they can go for hours at a time submerged in a virtual world where human interaction is filtered through the medium of technology. That is not freedom. That is not even process. This is technological tyranny, an iron-fisted control delivered by way of a surveillance state, corporate giants such as Google and Facebook, and government spy agencies like the National Security Agency. So consumed are we with prevailing ourselves of the latest technologies, staying up all night to make sure we get the newest iPhone, that we have spared barely a thought for the ramifications of our heedless, headlong stumble towards a world in which our abject reliance on internet-connected gadgets and gizmos is grooming us for a future in which freedom is an illusion. Yet, not just freedom that hangs in the balance, humanity itself is on the line. If ever Americans find themselves in bondage to technological tyrants, we will have only ourselves to blame for having forged the chains through our own lassitude, laziness, and abject reliance on internet-connected gadgets and gizmos that render us wholly irrelevant. Indeed, we are fast approaching Philip Dick's vision of the future as depicted in the film Minority Report. I'm sure many of you, like myself, saw it. There, police agencies apprehend criminals before they can commit a crime. Driverless cars, we have them now, populate the highways, and a person's biometrics are constantly scanned and used to track their movements, and now their thoughts. Target them for advertising and keep them under perpetual surveillance. Cue the dawning of the age of the internet, of things, in which internet-connected things monitor your home, your health, and your habits in order to keep you, well, they'll keep you controlled, your utilities regulated by them, and your life under control and relatively worry-free. The key word, however, is control. Remember about a year ago I said, COVID is not the problem. The vaccines are being given to us not because they can protect us, because it's now shown that in many countries, the ones most likely to go to the hospital and have the worst outcomes are those who have been vaccinated. But rather the control of a society starts with ventures like this, and then they never stop. So in the not-too-distant future, just about every device you have and every product, like chairs, that you own will be through technology, and you'll be connected to all of the other technologies. In 2018, we had 22 billion Internet of Things connected devices in use around the world. And now they're up to over 30 billion on their way in the next 8 years to 50 billion devices. So almost everything you use will be connected. When you're driving, they'll be able to listen in on your conversations in your car. They'll be able to know where you're at any given time, how long you were there, what you bought, what you ate, where you slept. Everything they'll know about you. But by that time, within the next 2 years, they will be giving you devices much, much more sophisticated than the crude devices now that would have to be implanted in your brain where they can read your thoughts. Oh, and for your and society's best interest, like the Minority Report, they can stop you from having those thoughts. They can reprogram your thoughts. That's where we're at. And you thought it was just about yes or no on the vaccines. No. Nope. Remember this. The people who are the enemy are always the people that never allow themselves to be criticized. I'm Gary Nall. Back in a moment.
Commentary short. It was about twice as long as what you just heard because I wanted you to have an opportunity to call in and share your points of view of where we're going, where we're at. What's being done? What are you doing? Why aren't other people doing as much as they should or doing anything to protest? That's especially true in the United States and in Australia. Australians who are protesting are finding that the police are shooting them, arresting them, slamming them into the ground, and for just protesting the lockdowns. No one's looking at the consequences. What happens when you lock people down? The science is no longer on their side, it's against them. The masks are no longer on their side, it's against them. The vaccine safety and efficacy no longer on their sides. In fact, I was going to play a clip today, but I will tomorrow. Fauci saying the vaccines are 100% effective. And then they're completely effective. And then over the last year, or the last, let's say, 7 months, less and less effective. And now it's only, 22% effective after 2 months. They lied. But they're not held accountable. Our talkback number is 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. And if we have calls, we'll be happy to take them. If we don't, I'll give you another commentary in just a moment. Just a quick break here, and that is that, and I better put this in proper context so people understand it. I created four different supremacies. The one I take is the Supremacy Extra. That's the 240 vegetarian capsules, and it gives you a lot of vitamin C. It gives you over 2,000
241 milligrams, and that's a lot, and that's terrific. But it's how it's blended, how it's with calcium ascorbate, magnesium ascorbate, and selenium, selenate, and potassium as ascorbate, and then amla berries and bilberries and bioflavonoids, acerola cherries, beet juice, and that's what makes it so special. But I've decided last night, after meeting with the staff in New York, I'm going to discontinue the product. And the reason is twofold. This is why context is everything. So they're only in stock as of today until they're out of stock, and then they won't come back. And mind you, I'm the one who invented them. I'm the one who uses them every day. But I have a new vitamin C that's taken me 2 years to create. It's in production. It took so long because the ingredients coming from different places around the world. I won't go further into it, but it will literally revolutionize vitamin C. I will say no more than there's never been anything like it, and I doubt that there will be. But part of the problem we're all facing now, and I'm so sure you're seeing it, is empty shelves, the difficulty of getting something. It used to be if I ordered, let's say, green stuff to be replenished, a couple thousand bottles, it would take 3 to 5 weeks. Now, 6 months to a year. Well, that's not good for a little tiny company because that means that you're forced then to order thousands upon thousands of bottles, and you got to pay cash for all this up front, in which case you use up all your working capital. And because they're saying, the manufacturers, the people actually go out and find the raw ingredients that you tell them you want and then manufacture, these ingredients are no longer available or we can't get them, it's going to be a long wait, and that's, then you got to wait for the transportation. So what I've done is, I've said, okay, I can't have 5 different spermaceti, so I took the one that I use, and I'm discontinuing it. I'm keeping the other 3, and this will be a 4, so I'll still have 4, but because of the long delays of getting this manufactured, and over a year of getting this one into stock, which I hope to have in the next 8 weeks, I'm going to surrender this one. And by the way, my other products I'm also having to order huge amounts of, and or reformulate. And in the reformulation, try to make it even a better product where I know I can get some supplies, meaning I can get some raspberries or, you know, Swiss chard, whatever goes into a product. It's really tough. It is not easy. But we're ahead of this, and I'm not passing on the increased prices. By the way, just to give you an idea, I haven't increased my supremacy cost to you, but my cost has gone up 300%. 300%. Yeah. And I didn't pass a penny on. So it's like a lost leader. But that's what's happening everywhere. And you're going to see all those extra costs at your store passed on to you. We're in Inflationville now. It's going to get worse, not better. I'll deal more on this in an upcoming subject. So what I'm doing now is if you like Supremacy Extra, you're going to get it today. And also a copy of Shopping and Cooking Healthy with my daughter Shelley and I. And we all want to be healthier, hopefully. And this is one way to do this. It's a great documentary. So this is what you're getting. You're getting the Supremacy and Advanced Supremacy capsules, vegan capsules, 240 vegan capsules. And you're getting the video. You're saving $54.99. Huge savings, including the savings on Supremacy Extra. But this is while it lasts. Now, at this moment, I figure I got about a 4-week supply left. So you can order what you want. But once this is gone, it's gone forever. So give a call at 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. Or you can call Neil in the Vitamin Closet Monday to Saturday from noon to 8 p.m. at 646-926-5430. 646-926-5430. Just keep in mind, I saw this coming 2 years ago, before COVID. Then COVID really slammed it.
And I remember my last order, I had to order like 25,000 bottles. That's a huge amount. They're all gone, or almost all gone. And then you got to order even more the next time. And now watch what happens in the health food stores all across America, not just regular stores. Products are gone. You just can't buy them. And then China controls most of the natural ingredients and the minerals, etc. So now people are having to defer to China. And China can take all the time at once, putting something on a barge and getting it over here. And so you're going to see massive shortages. Not with my products. We don't have any shortages, and we won't. But we always have to be a little smart here, because I don't have credit, and I don't do time, 6 months, 3 months. I just pay for it, and it's done. So we're trying to be as smart as we can. We're keeping the prices as they are, but I can't have five supremacies. Can't afford it. So now it's your advantage. If you like it, order now, because when it's gone, it's gone. 877-627-5065. And before we go to your calls, we have a couple. Well, no, we have Luann on the line, I see. But before we go to Luann, let's say hello to Barry from Florida. Hi, Barry. Your turn.
Hi, Gary. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Barry.
Okay. Hi. Yeah, I've been listening to you for about 25 years. I'm retired now in Florida, originally from New Jersey. I have an observation to throw at you, and I'm just wondering if you or any of your contacts have discussed this in any way. When I was young and stupid, I worked for a mob-connected bookie in New York. Learned all about the gambling, sports gambling world. And I have followed college football since then with a deep interest. This season, I have seen things on a weekly basis that I have never seen in my entire life before. And I'm wondering if these so-called vax shots are causing some kind of neurological impediment. For instance,
you don't need the for instance. You've made your point, and it's a legitimate point. Yes, there are neurological damages because of micro clotting in the brain, as well as micro clotting in the circulatory system in the heart. However, more important is all the athletes that are having heart attacks at the height of their health that would never normally have heart attacks. Germany just ran a magazine on it today, just today. In fact, quote, German newspaper highlights unusually large number of soccer players who have collapsed recently. And then we have a video where you see them collapsing and dying. Now, mind you, these people would never have that normally happen, but these are all people who are vaccinated so they could play the sport. And no one's willing to acknowledge this. So there's massive denial. Now, is it true that all athletes will have neurological problems? No, we have not seen that. Was it the intent to create neurological problems? No, there's no proof of that. But this is one of the side effects of taking something without acknowledging the precautionary principle, first do no harm. There is definitely harm that has been done, okay? So you've seen a lot of stupid things happening, but the mere fact that we showed that by putting on a mask at the type that an athlete would wear and are told to wear, like school kids who are playing soccer, you're seeing them out there running and breathing, they're depriving themselves of oxygen. It should be 21% and sometimes down to 17%. That can create hypoxia,
reactions and kill neurons in the brain. And then at the other side of it, they're breathing in excessive amounts of carbon dioxide. It shouldn't be more than 1,000 parts per million. It's up to 10,000 or more. And we proved that. We filmed it. It's up on GaryNoll.com. You can actually see this for yourself. A double negative. Not a single word in the mainstream media. Not a single coach that I know of. No athletes are saying, what about the lack of oxygen when you need oxygen more than normal? What about the buildup of carbon dioxide, which is a known toxicant to the brain and central nervous system? Not a word. So at some point, for those athletes who are going to do their homework and then come forward and tell, okay, I'm willing to take a vaccine. Are you willing then Pfizer or Moderna or Johnson & Johnson or Fauci to be held corporately responsible if my brain is damaged and if I have a micro seizure and or a micro blood clotting? Are you going to be responsible? They've already said no. We're not responsible for anything, and now we're denying that anything that happens, including the young woman who was a nurse at a press conference to promote vaccine safety, took the vaccine on camera, and about 20 seconds later passed out and then died. Of course, they said it wasn't from the vaccine. Of course it was from the vaccine. We're living in an age of mass denial, the very thing I was talking about. They control the narrative. Okay, thanks for your call. Let's go over to Luann Panisi. Hi, Luann.
Barry,
is she there?
Hi, everyone. Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good, yeah. Hi. Good to be on again with you. First, I want to thank you for that amazing progressive commentary hour last night. If you have not heard it, everyone must listen in. And the fact that you're talking about empty shelves is real all over. I'm hearing from people. And I want to just make a quick announcement about the fact that at the Villa down here in Texas, we are building our intentional community, and it's going really, really well. If there is anyone who knows a lot about hydroponics, especially vertical hydroponics, we're looking for someone who is interested in helping us out with the hydroponics program. We have so much equipment that we need help in getting everything set up, getting everything going, and bringing things to the farmers market. People are so hungry to get these foods, because I'm seeing that the shelves are half empty, not only in the health food stores, but even in the general stores. So people are taking notice for sure. So if there's anyone who's interested, it's a phenomenal opportunity. This is an intentional community. We have people doing organic and vegan baking, and we have artists here. So the community is growing, and we're looking for like-minded people who are very familiar with working with hydroponics, microgreens, growing mushrooms, things like that. So if this is something that someone is interested in, please give me a call. My number is 903-881-7008. Again, it's 903-881-7008. Give me a call. I interview everybody. And, man, Gary, keep up the great work. People are just so appreciative of these podcasts and your shows. Phenomenal information. And thank you for last night. Very, very good work.
Thank you. We had a 50-year practicing physician on last night, and who's a professor who was one of the leading scholars at the Max Planck Institute for Virology. He has a background in virology, immunology, and he has 3 board certifications, published over 300 articles in peer-reviewed literature, telling the truth about the vaccines. So it's worth listening to. I don't see any more calls up at this moment. By the way, don't forget, a week from Sunday, I'm going to be doing a webinar on overcoming loneliness, depression, and anxiety, plus showing a film. So go to GaryNoll.com if you're interested. We're going to finish today. I'm going to read you verbatim a short article by Tom Hafer and Henry Miller. It's called MIT, that's Massachusetts Technology Alumnus. We can't support a school with a caved woke mentality. Here's what they say, quote, and you can agree or disagree. We graduated from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology more than 50 years ago. MIT was academically rigorous, and it taught us our crafts and the essence of problem solving, enabling us to thrive in our careers. We owe much to our alma mater and have donated to it regularly. No more. The current MIT administration has caved repeatedly to the demands of wokeness, treating its students unfairly, compromising the quality of its staff, and damaging the institution and academic freedom at large. We object to MIT's politically correct measures, including the firing of its Catholic chaplain. In the early days of the George Floyd protest, before the details of Floyd's death were clear, Father Daniel Maloney sent a letter outlining his thoughts on the event to the university's Catholic community. It was a sincere examination of conscience from a person whose job it was to examine conscience. Yet it prompted his immediate dismissal. MIT's leadership apparently took umbrage at his statement that these simple facts, that George Floyd, quote, had not lived a virtuous life based upon his multiple criminal convictions, and that, quote, most people in the country have framed Floyd's death as an act of racism. I don't think we know that, end quote. Maloney did not present these statements as justification for Floyd's death. To the contrary, his letter begins, quote, George Floyd was killed by a police officer and should not have been, end quote. But MIT found the letter intolerable and fired the chaplain. We are not Catholic, by the way, but believe fairness transcends religion. We also deplore MIT's new mandatory diversity training. In the autumn of 2020, MIT sent an email to new and current students informing them they would be unable to register for spring classes if they failed to undergo wokeness instruction. In the email, MIT outlined two required trainings, one on, quote, diversity, equity, and inclusion, end quote, and the other entitled, quote, sexual assault prevention ongoing, healthy relationships, end quote. The compulsory videos contain deftly worded but fatuous questions implying that straight white males are at the, quote, intersection of all oppressive behaviors. Everyone else is an oppressed victim with extra points for being a member of multiple minority groups. Thus, the concept of intersectionality, end quote, is a kind of conspiracy theory of victimization. The most vivid illustration of how far the university has sunk is the disgraceful cancellation of University of Chicago professor Dorian Abbott. When MIT invited the distinguished geophysicist to give a public lecture, he seemed a natural choice, quote, a scientific star who studies climate change and whether planets in distant solar systems might harbor atmospheres conducive to life, end quote, in the words of the New York Times. But Abbott had committed the mortal sin of arguing in Newsweek that the implementation of diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives on college campuses, quote, violates the ethical and legal principle of equal treatment, treats persons as merely means to an end, giving primacy to a statistic over the individuality of the human being, end quote. He proposed and said, quote, an alternative framework called merit, fairness, and equality, whereby university applicants are treated as individuals and evaluated through a rigorous and unbiased process based upon their merit and qualifications alone, end quote. Instead of championing Abbott's presentation on Earth's climate and the identification of planets and other solar systems, MIT pandered to a Twitter mob and canceled the lecture. Princeton's James Madison Program in Ideals and Institutions invited Abbott to deliver the lecture, which he did marvelously, we hasten to add, on the day his MIT lecture had been scheduled. The fiasco has deservedly received worldwide attention. Pointing out MIT's lapses in withdrawing our financial support of the offending institution is insufficient. We would like to suggest a way for MIT to return to our good graces and hope it will consider adopting the following principles of fairness. First, facts are not racist, and stating facts is not racism. Second, a person's ethnicity or skin color does not define him or her as a racist, oppressor, or a victim. Third, intellectual ability and achievement are the principal requirements for admission as a student or faculty member to any university. Fourth, diversity of opinions is desired and supported. Fifth, a just democratic society requires equal opportunity, equal justice, and equal responsibility. It does not require equal outcomes. And finally, adherence to the statements above must not be sacrificed for political, social, and public relations considerations. These truths shall be self-evident. Now, they are apparently controversial. MIT and other universities must make a choice. Will they redeem themselves by standing for merit and truth, or will they forfeit the support of countless alumni and donors by surrendering to wokeness? End quote. Their thoughts? You can agree or disagree, but now the silent majority are awake, and their awakeness is a whole lot different than awokeness. Thank you all for listening and have a nice day.